Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to the Fabrication Friday podcast. I'm your host, Joe Fairley, certified prosthetist, 3D printing enthusiast, and owner of Ascent Fabrication. Fabrication Friday is an all-around fun time where I talk about 3D printing applications, conduct interviews with industry leaders, and much more. Come join us every Friday for an informational discussion around the evolution of the additive manufacturing field and how we utilize various digital workflows and 3D printing methods in our daily work at Ascent Fabrication.
Well, thanks everyone for coming back to the Fabrication Friday podcast. I'm your host, Joe Fairley, 3D printing enthusiast and owner of Ascent Fabrication. We've been quite dormant for the last 6 months, but for good reason. Ascent Fabrication has gotten out of the prosthetics and orthotics industry, actually, from transitioning a lot of the work that we've been doing over the last 3.5 years over to a company called Proteor, a French company, who I'm now working with to develop their 3D printing side of their business. So a lot going on in that end of things. But you know, today I really want to focus on Beverly Tan here, who I have with me, that is just another very like-minded, sounds like serial entrepreneur in the 3D printing and additive manufacturing space, as well as being in the TV production space. So I really want to hear about that and kind of how that has blended with your 3D printing past. But you're the founder of Ecovate 3D. Thank you very much, Beverly, for coming on the show.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited. I love everything, you know, media, 3D printing, and just yapping with the nerds.
Yeah, no, the nerds need to unite. You know, I haven't gotten out to one of the Maker Faires, Smurf or Murph yet, but I think that needs to happen in the near future here.
Oh my God, that has to. Where are you based?
I'm in upstate New York. The Eastern Rep Festival, definitely have to get to that. That's down in Bel Air, Maryland.
I was just there. Yeah. I'll see you next year because that is driving distance for you and you better be there.
It is. Yeah.
Too easy. To Detroit too for Rapid TCT because that's in Detroit next year. So that's also driving distance for you. So no excuse.
You're right. And now my employee is from the Detroit area. So, you know, we'll have to get out there. Get him back to his roots and go out to Rapid next year for sure. We actually had some intention to go to Rapid. I was at Rapid last year with Black Belt. Let's see if I can point in the right direction here. The Black Belt 3D printer angled 3D printing. We were showcasing the really neat abilities of the Black Belt there. So that was pretty cool. That was my first 3D printing show, actually. So it was kind of neat to get into, you know, the additive manufacturing space that way head first.
Yeah, I love them all. I'm about to go into Formnext next week. So, but it's like the industrial side and the consumer side. Like when I get to see both sides of it, it's like, whoa, this is so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I haven't quite been to more of the consumer side of things. You know, how much does that differ from being at these more industrial kind of business to business oriented trade shows?
I think the vibe is very different at either of them. So I started going to, you know, the small, you know, the consumer side ones because I work on the consumer side, you know, to Printopia, Rep Raps, Maker Faires, and those, like, there's just like a gathering of just really good energy, really good people that are just doing weird creative things. So I've made so many friends there. And then we'll be like, and then half of them will be like, oh great, we'll see you at the industrial one. And then you go to the industrial one and you're just the whole time, you're like, oh my God, this is so cool. This, like, what? It's taller than me. What is this? This is amazing. But that's more like showcasey and I guess a little bit more serious. It's less, you know, people going, here's this crazy idea. So I really love being on both sides of it with the best of both worlds because I get to go to, you know, the big industrial ones and be like, this technology is so cool. I've never seen anything like it. And turn around at the consumer world, like, so here's this crazy idea using this crazy thing I found, which, you know, is like, this will be fun. And vice versa, I go like, oh, I've got like a really cool use for this that I think would actually be really great.
Right.
And like bridging the gap for, like, right there.
Yeah, that's starting to go down that rabbit hole we were just getting into before the show here, how, you know, we have so many different ideas of what we can and should be doing with 3D printing, and they could all spin off to different side businesses, right? How did you actually get into the 3D printing industry in the first place?
So when I was 7 years old, I said, I'm going to be a filmmaker. And I became a filmmaker. I was a screenwriter for a few years, then I became owned a production company, then I became a producer. And somewhere along that, I actually rarely work in camera departments. I'm mostly a development producer and casting director now. And I started going, I want to make things easier for, I've got all these ideas for all these tools that could make things easier for, printing for filmmaking. And I was like, how do I do this? And I'm like, I have these ideas, but prototyping in like 2016 was such a long, difficult process. So around 2018, I was like, I was always interested in robotics. I was on my high school robotics team, FIRST Robotics, Optimus Prime.
Very
So
nice.
yeah, I was a founding member and it was really fun. And I've always been like a nerd for like mechanical things and figuring out how stuff worked, which is something that I enjoyed about the camera aspect of filmmaking, but then that's why I became a producer, so I get to come up with crazy ideas. And I said, how do I make some of these tools? So I just learned how to 3D print. I got a 3D printer. My first printer was a Monoprice Mini. It was like this big. It was very slow. I was very proud of it when it was going 70 millimeters a second
Right.
back in the day. And then I got some Anycubics and I started printing lens cap replacements and camera tools. And then 2020 happened and the pandemic, and TV production's not really a thing during the pandemic. So I actually became a podcast producer for a couple of years, for other people's podcasts. I was never a host. And I just got into 3D printing because during the holiday, like podcast producers don't really work during holiday season. We kind of work on the same schedule as TV producers, which was I really only worked from like March to November. So I had all this time and said, hey, I love 3D printing. This is a fun hobby. I started making Christmas ornaments and printing stuff for other people and more silly stuff for myself. And I was buying so much filament and also helping my friends bulk buy filament. And I was like, I should get paid for this. And also, any other hobby, like if I was painting, if I was knitting, I could walk into a store and just look at the colors because I'm a very visual person. I want to do stuff in person. I love a shopping experience. I love fashion. So I said, how do
Yeah,
I
I
fix
love the
this?
hair, by the way. It's awesome.
Thank you. I couldn't find a place to go shop in person for three. This was before Micro Center carried 3D printing stuff, And I was like, I can do this. So I opened Ecobay as a delivery service for filament at first because it was 2020. Because I was like, I was just getting pallets dropped off at my house in my driveway, putting them in the back of my Honda Element and dropping them off on porches. And then we got a pop-up a few years later. A friend was leasing a building and he said, hey, this building is scheduled to be torn down in 6 months. It's empty. No one's going to sign a 6 month long lease, but I'll give it to you for $500 a month. And I was like, done, let's go. And I said, you know what? When they tear this building down and kick us out, I can move back in my garage. I can look for a new shop. But it became so popular that when demolition time came around, like 2 months, I was like, oh no, I can't close. Everyone's going to be so upset. So it just snowballed into like a real store. The pandemic ended. People started, I started working in TV again. And then the writer's strike happened. And I was like, you know what? I am going to grow these divisions. So the writer's strike happened, after my business was just like a thriving neighborhood hobby store. I had regulars at like, and it was one of those stores that I was like, this is so I can 3D print for free, right? Lies, lies. I never 3D print for myself. But, I was paying my staff. I wasn't paying myself, but I had a job. Writer's strike happens, and I'm a casting director. So there's no scripts, there's no casting. If there's no actors, there's really no casting. So I said,
That's
okay,
tough.
I need to make my money off this 3D printing store now. So I really focused in. So that's why we're expanding to like the education route, the enterprise route, which is very, very sudden because I said, I need to get, distribution deals. And everyone, when I first opened, was like, you're absolutely insane. You're going to compete with Amazon. And I was like, yeah, I like a good shopping experience. So I just got Bamboo, became a Bamboo Labs distributor, first small business with a physical store to sell bamboo printers. And we don't do any e-com pretty much, very, very little, and really only at an enterprise or education institution level is the only time we ship. And or if it's like a close friend, but I don't want to deal with warranties long distance is really what it is. And we just signed with Prusa, so we became Prusa distributors. And it's like once you you know, go to these and you start meeting people, you know, everyone wants to be involved. They want to be part of this indie community because it's all part of the maker movement. And the maker movement is like the small businesses. It's people who want to do stuff on their own without huge corporations, you know, being like super involved. Like obviously some of these printer companies are big corporations, but you know, the distribution, the access at a small business level is just like the amount of love in the community is just so, because everyone's so passionate about this, has just been mind blowing and just the best experience.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear. I mean, again, the reason that you and I got connected was because I just saw a LinkedIn post from you just a couple weeks ago where you're mentioning that you had kind of taken over the entire company and you've been working on this, bootstrapping it for the last few years. And that just really resonated with me because I've been doing the exact same thing over the last 3.5 years as well. You know, kind of started after the pandemic, so really didn't quite get you know, started with selling what I wanted to sell to customers until after the pandemic. But you know, having that kind of bootstrap mentality and you know, wanting to just further the level of you know, 3D printing education that we have in the field, I think is really, really unique, and I can vibe with that. Very well. So, you know, on your website there, I see a lot of, you know, educational courses too. Is that kind of a big chunk of your business there too, going to universities and other schools locally?
Yeah, it is. I've always been really passionate about education. Like even as an entrepreneur, as a filmmaker, I was always speaking at colleges, schools, you know, and I did like the little speaking. I've lived several lives at this point. And, you know, my former business partner, my co-founder, I bought him out recently just because he just has other things going on. And, you know, he wanted to focus on this fun, like hobby retail store because, you know, he also had a job. And, you know, really now his job is just taking up so much of his time. So I'm focusing on, you know, expanding this educational department because one of the reasons we opened it is he started 3D printing around 2020 to, you know, I started a couple years earlier, but he started, you know, around 2020. And we realized that it was really hard to find resources to learn. Like, you know, when you learned at a paper level back when you're unders, you can't really learn how it feels from a YouTube video. Like they can tell you, but like, it's all about feel. You know, to level, I was like the Ender Whisperer back in the day. I could level anything on the spot by eye and by feel. Like I never printed a level test. So, you know, like those skills, it's really just better in person. And I loved learning in person. And also when you look like this and you ask a question on Reddit or a Facebook group in a very male dominated hobby, you don't always get useful answers or the kindest answers. They kind of just go, oh, you have to change this. It was like, no, that's nothing, has nothing to do with my question here. So I wanted to create a resource, and also for like kids and for kids, for women, for people who don't look like maker nerds, you know, because there's a lot of judgment I've seen happen, you know. And I was like, okay, I want to create a safe space for people to come and they can ask questions because there are no stupid questions. It's you don't know, like 3D printer manuals aren't very thorough. Like, you know, they don't tell you. Like, where has a 3D printing manual said you need to change your nozzle every few months? Most people learn that they have to change their nozzle when they come to me and it's like, hey, my printer's not extruding. And I was like, when's the last time you changed your nozzle? I have to change the nozzle? It's like, yeah, I know nobody tells you that, but I'm telling you now, it's okay. Everybody does this. It's like $2 for a new nozzle. You're fine. Or, well, really upgrade your nozzle, but for a brass one, it's $2. But people can come to the store. You know, a lot of people, you know, especially back in the days of, you know, printers you had to build yourself before you had, you know, solutions like Bamboo and those really easy to build printers. You know, people just, if you had to repair something, like you just didn't know it was wrong. And that repair mechanical side turned a lot of people off. They're like, 3D printing is the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Their printer maintenance, something would break and they'd be frustrated and they can't fix it. So I just said, hey, if people are frustrated, let me open a repair shop. I can repair that and save their frustration. And what I wasn't expecting were people who knew how to fix printers saying, oh, I have 8 printers. I don't want to fix it. Like I'd rather just pay you to handle it.
Yeah.
You know, doing the rails and doing maintenance. We do maintenance, you know, and all of that too. But you know, I love classes. I wanted them to be kid friendly, you know, because kids are so smart. One of my best friends texted me yesterday And I taught his kid how to 3D print, his 11-year-old son. And he says, my son made $1,400 at his school's holiday boutique yesterday selling 3D
Wow,
printed
there you
stuff.
go.
And I was like, how did he make that much inventory? Because this kid only has three printers. Like,
Yeah, that's
I was
awesome.
like,
Making
what is
Christmas
he
ornaments or something
printing?
like that.
Huh?
Making Christmas ornaments or something like
I guess I don't know. I was like, what did this kid make? Because I don't make that much money at a Maker Faire
that.
sometimes.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, just having that, nature of giving back to the community, I think is a huge aspect of leveling up that educational bar of how do we actually deal with these printers that aren't so much consumer friendly, like the Bamboo. I mean, that's a very plug and play printer, and they've done a really nice job of leveling up the playing field here for people for sure. But we deal with that on an enterprise level, I think even more so than on a consumer level sometimes. Our main customer is on the business to business route, more enterprise level. And what we're seeing too is that people still, don't have these 3D printing skills, but they have their main job of what they need to do, and they need to focus in on that. But they also have this new shiny, 3D printer that's cost them, $20,000, $30,000, and they're expected to just perform, right? It's not quite an easy bake oven. We can't just hit the easy button and away we go, right? I mean, I'm sure
And
you
that's
well
why we
know.
offer staff and faculty training for the grown-ups too. So that's
Exactly.
actually one of like my favorite things is when we do school districts, we'll say like a smaller school district will say, hey, I want a 3D printing lab in every high school. Here's our budget. And we'll go in, we'll find that we'll decide, we'll look at their needs and be like, these are the printers you need. We'll set up the we'll deliver the printers and we'll do training day and teach their teachers how to do that. And some of the teachers that work for me have actual technology education degrees. So they're like, not only is here's how you can teach how you can use the printers, but here's how like some great techniques for teaching the students. So I've really been focusing the past few months and gathering resources and writing and creating resources for educators and for enterprise solutions of, hey, here's an easy troubleshooting guide. But also you can also buy a service plan that if you need anything, I can send someone out, you can just call someone, to really bridge the gap with customer support because a lot of these 3D printing companies are just big companies, and that's why we recently became, X1E and like enterprise level, say like, people that I forget the word, but I'm like, we get to do enterprise level stuff, which is new to me and why I'm so excited to go to Rapid to Formnext because I was, because it feels good to change lives with students. And I think something I discovered was getting to change lives with the adults, with, educating, just grown-ups and in facilities and empowering prototyping. And of course, if they can't get their printer working or they need something faster, they just call us. We print farm it a little bit. So we're a very small print farm. I only have like six printers that are ever working. So I'm too busy for everyone else's printers.
Yeah, I didn't realize that the fixing of printers could be such a big market as well. I had a family friend recently just kind of gift us an Ender because they said, oh well, it's just going to be too much hassle, we're not going to deal with it anymore. But yeah, how well received has that been on your side of things for actually being able to accept in a printer and do that kind of maintenance?
We're pretty good at fixing them, I hope. I think a lot of it is diagnosing it, and that is like, I'd say that is like 70% of our job. Like, what is wrong and what part needs to be replaced? Because 3D printers are fairly simple machines when you really think about it. You've got a motherboard, you've got some motors, you've got some belts,
It's a
you've got
fancy hot glue
connectors.
gun, right? We're just
Yeah, it's a hot glue gun on some motors.
right.
Like that's how I explained it to. I was like, how a hot glue gun works? Like that, except the robot is a lot better at like making straight lines than we are. And that's all it really is. So it's which gear is off, what's crooked is, or what wire is just not working for us. Like it's the troubleshooting is fairly straightforward, but it can be frustrating if you don't know what you're looking for. And I think that part just comes with experience, And for some people, they don't want that experience, which is fine because, some people love a hobby of printing, some people love a hobby of maintaining. I always compare it to like boat people. You've got boat people who love maintaining and upgrading their boat, and then you have people like me that just want to sit on the boat. And if you asked me to do anything mechanical, I was like, can we find someone else to do it?
Exactly. I think you're going to find, both sides of the coin there with people who really want to understand and know why certain parts aren't working the way they're working. And then you're going to have what I just described earlier was, people who are just doing their day jobs and just want the machine to work, right?
That's what
But
we're here
yeah,
for.
that's it.
But
That's
also, I've
it.
had, back before these plug and play, I just remember there was one year, I think I want to say it was like 22, where I was building four Enders a day because I'd have parents come in right before Christmas and say, hey, I want to buy a 3D printer, but I don't want to build it. And I was like, hey, for $70, I'll build it for you. I'll build your Ender for you. So I was just there and I had a couple college students because we have an engineering school like down the street, like a half mile from our shop. I was like, hey, who wants to make a little Christmas money? And we were just charging build fees and just building Enders like all day long and selling them pre-built. And because some people just want to print and, and I'm glad that there is a lot of a mindset shift that it's okay to just print because I feel like, 3, 4 years ago, before plug and play printers were popular, it was very, oh, you need to, like, you had to have mechanical skills to maintain your printer yourself because there aren't a lot of services like mine. I think last I checked, there's only about 12 3D printing, companies like mine that are just around. You can just walk in and buy 3D printers and filament that aren't, Micro Center, pretty much. Or some big like tech store, specialty shops, which I think is wild because, I was a filmmaker. There are camera stores everywhere. There's yarn stores, there's craft stores, there's hobby stores for every hobby, comic book stores. Why aren't there 3D printing stores? And if, well, if you ask the banks and every business person and anyone with an MBA, they'll say, because your competitor is Amazon, it's not a smart investment. Like, it's working out for me.
No, I think, they're definitely not quite understanding that other level of your customers wanting that interaction with you and a little bit of support, right? So they can't call someone at Amazon and ask them why their printer isn't working,
Exactly.
So, you can have that level of just being a consumer and just purchasing the machine, but then you're left to Reddit or some other, Discord channel to try to find, and YouTube for that matter, of trying to find some examples of how to fix the machine or, what is even wrong with the machine in the first place, right?
Some people just want to drop it off, pay me my bed sheet,
Yeah.
and come back next week with a working printer. I'll usually tell them
Right.
what's wrong with it if we remember and note it down properly. But sometimes we get a lot
Yeah.
of printers. And we fulfill bamboo warranties, and warranties for printers we sell too. And we can also, someone brings in a bamboo that they bought from bamboo. If they can bring us the receipt and the serial number, we can actually help fulfill that warranty as well because we do have direct lines to their support team. So it's just nice
Nice.
to be able to
Yeah.
go in and get help. Because for me, I'm absolutely the person where I don't want to be reading documentation for hours and hours, especially if it's not documented well, which some tech companies it's not. Some tech companies it's just not updated, like as soon as something happens. And or sometimes I don't know what to Google. Like, have you ever run into that problem where it's like, what words do I Google properly to like find a solution?
Well, and some of these printers are still so new that, you don't have enough people out there who have used them. I mean, I'm going to give another example of the black belt here. There aren't enough people out there that have any kind of repository of how to use the machine. So we're actually coming up with a lot of educational videos because I don't like to read documentation either. But there's definitely that huge need for sure. You've had a lot of focus on the education side of things with consumers, and now you're getting into maybe a little bit more enterprise level. How is that changing the way that you think around this educational space and support? Or is it, are you just dealing with local customers and you're doing that kind of on-site and local support?
So it is definitely shifting to doing enterprise stuff because not only can I do the local support, but I've got a lot of friends up in New Jersey doing educational, and I was like, oh, I can fly out and go do stuff. I can find people. I've got enough network and enough community that if, because I live in California half the year, if there were school systems in California, if there were school systems in New Jersey, New York, wherever, I have a network because I'm going to these maker fairs, these 3D printing, and I'm like, oh, I know who to call. I know who I can hire. to help me with something. And, you know, I could call someone, hire them for the day to go run a tech support. So I'm really excited to be expanding on both educational and enterprise fronts. You know, so for printed parts, like I ship those, no problem. It's no one should pay me shipping for filament because I don't want to compete with Amazon is the main reason I don't drop ship because I don't want to deal with it. You can get almost anything in my store from Amazon in all honesty, you know, or online. So I'm not trying to get my market share that way because that's pointless.
And I mean, there's just so little margin, you know, for the filament side of things too.
Exactly. And I don't have, I'm not a big enough company to offer free shipping deals. I don't have these big fancy freight contracts, you know, it's just me. But, you know, if it's like a school that I can get it shipped from manufacturer straight to somewhere and instead of shipping it to me, so that works out. And then I could just fly out there and it's all just in the budget, you know, for the proposal to, hey, let me get a team out there. And at the enterprise level, I want to offer more solutions because it wasn't something I really thought about. I was like, oh, like they probably go direct to like Stratasys or something. And when, so I can sell X1Es and X1E parts, which I'll be completely honest, I didn't know the X1E existed until like 6 months ago. Because no one talks about it. You know, and also you can't just buy one. You have to go through someone like me to buy one. But all of these companies that have X1Es. So I'm in Raleigh, North Carolina, right by RTP Research Triangle Park, huge tech scene here. And all of these tech companies just out of nowhere that I've never heard of reached out to me when they saw my bamboo announcements on like Instagram, LinkedIn, and said, oh, you can sell X1E parts to me. That's great. Can I buy some now? And I was like, I don't have that. I was like, no, that's great because your competitors won't stock them for me. They'll only, it's I have to wait for them to stock them for them and then buy them.
And
they're always out of stock. And I was like, oh, well, I'm a small business. If you just tell me what you need, especially if you prepay for it, I'll just order, I'll just call Bamboo right now. Like, how fast do you need it? Do you need it expedited? And they're like, oh my goodness, like you can just do that? I was like, yeah, I'm literally one person running this whole company. Like,
well, when you have that kind of flexibility, you know, you can,
and that's
you can
the whole thing. It's
people.
Small business flexibility of, and my customers matter. And one of them, you know, it was like 5 minutes down the street and they said, oh, and then when it gets to you, I was like, I'm just going to drive it to you. Like it's getting faster and cheaper than, I'm just going to put it in my car and I'm going to drive it to you. It used to be a delivery service.
Yeah, maybe you might be the only delivery service in the U.S. I don't know if there's any other actual 3D printer parts or printer delivery. Have you looked into that at all?
No, I haven't. But we actually don't do a whole lot of delivery now because most people just come to the store because they want to come look at all the pretty colors. So we have over 100 material options in our store, 90% of it being like just pretty PLAs. And most of our vendors are actually small businesses because I'm a really big fan of small businesses. Like CookieCAD, Greengate, they're all based out of New York. You know, they're all just small, like Capricorn's a small company out of Indiana. You know, it's just run by this really lovely couple. So these are all my friends that are making all this product, except for like the printers. Yeah, I've got like the big ones like Creality and, you know, Elegoo and all of that in this book. But I actually don't carry any of their filament. All the filament I carry is pretty much small businesses and bamboo.
There you go.
And then soon Prusament too.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and that's a pretty good mix of different options for people too. I mean, over 100 colors, that's awesome to have that kind of inventory.
Yeah. And we get new colors all the time because you work with the development teams for some of these companies like EPAX. Like I'll put like, hey guys, like there's this really pretty color that I thought about. Can we make this happen? Thank you. And sometimes they can do it. Be like, yeah, I like this, but like, I want glitter in it. I want glitter in everything, obviously. So that's been like really fun, but we get inventory so quick and it leaves so quickly that our website is honestly not updated fast enough because sometimes I remember one time we had this glitter pink back when glitter filament was new and I took it out of the box, put it on the shelf and it was sold by end of day. I didn't even enter it into the system. Like it was all just, you know, a little custom entry of like, just going to put in a number and hand it over, you know.
There you go.
And that just happens a lot. So that's why people now, you know, we do sometimes if it's a regular, because I live in the suburbs 30 minutes away, if they live on the suburbs near me, I'll just drop it off at their, I'll just deliver it to them. But usually people want to come drive to the store, which is exciting news. We are going to, in the next couple months, hopefully next month, move to a store three times the size because we are not okay in our store. Like,
Yeah.
we're closed today, which is why I'm at my house. But our store is 700 square feet, and we have like, I think someone was saying like, oh yeah, this is the most expensive desk I've ever used. It's two X1 carbon combos, boxes with my laptop on top of it.
Right.
Like our
Right.
repair techs are like, I've got a bunch of freelance repair techs, and they're just like stacked on top of each other right now. Like it's, we don't have space for all the filament because especially since some of these, it's attraction. I made a lot of friends and a lot of and networked a lot, and now a lot of companies want to put their filament in my store, and I'm like, I don't have the shelf space yet.
Yeah, that's a
So
great problem to
hopefully,
have,
moving
though.
into
That's
a
awesome.
much bigger space, and the offers get accepted because we need it. I'm tripping over boxes constantly. Or come buy my
Nice.
printers and filament, everybody. So I
Yeah.
found in my shop.
Well, no, that's great that you've had that kind of success, in the store, walk-in store environment too, because, I've been following a couple other brands throughout the last few years that have kind of come and go with that in-store, walk-in idea. But I think it's definitely necessary for some people for the light bulb to go off, right? We get some local customers here who want to do little projects with us. And it's not until they walk into, our space here and they're like, oh, you've got some big printers here. We like to print big, and focus on the large scale side of things. But it's that light bulb that goes off and they think, oh, well, I could do this or this or this. And it's just a matter of putting that right material with the right printer, with the right, design in order to get them to where they need to be. But having that kind of walk-in store, I think, is super crucial for just the visibility of the 3D printing industry for the consumer side of things too, because then otherwise it is just going to be Amazon that kind of takes over with, that drop shipping, which is just going to be completely horrible. So, but I've tried Amazon in the past. Definitely wasn't an easy thing to go through. So, just kudos to you for trying to keep that, walk-in store mentality alive. I think that's a hugely necessary component of building that brand that you have, an awesome brand, and then just the visibility around what kind of printer would be right for me, what kind of filament, would be interesting to have. You're not going to see that, pretty colorful pink glitter filament on Amazon. So, yeah,
And
that's
it looks different
really.
from the pictures I've done. It's really great because people walk into the store and they'll, and I just have printed stuff everywhere, just from printing stuff. And they'll pick something up and be like, wow, this looks so great. What is this? And I was like, oh, I can just pull that filament off the shelf and they'll know. Or someone will come in and say, okay, this is the project I'm printing. I need this, this, and this. And I'll be like, okay, I got you. Like, these are the exact filaments you're going to want for that. Here's all your options. And it's just, that's what I think is like just the most fun when someone's like, oh, I'm trying to do like a bouquet of flowers. It's like, okay, yeah, this shade of green is perfect for rose stems. This is like
Yep.
perfect, like this red versus this red, you want this one. And they can
That's
really
awesome.
compare and they can hold filament, samples next to each other and be like, okay, yeah, this matches for my project. I can put these two things together. And especially in multicolor printing, they're like, sometimes you're,
Yeah.
I had a client that it was an industrial client. It was a construction company. And they're like, okay, we want a dark red and we want the brightest green you have. This because, it's a practical piece for this multicolor print for a tool. And
Sure.
I just remember taking this off of me and go, like, oh, these two colors look so terrible together. But it
Yeah.
is the brightest neon green and this deep red
Yeah.
they wanted. I was like, these colors don't match, but this is what they
It
wanted. And like, but like if this
matches their
was
application.
decorative or cosmetic, like I would hate it. And someone would
Right.
go buy those two colors that you think that. And I told them, I was like, these colors do not match. They're like, no, we need this green to be like UV reactive green. Well, people are not going to miss this. Like, they'll see
Yeah.
it. It's visible.
There you go. Yeah, I think the filament side of things is still kind of not untouched, but very quickly growing. And the color options, the different fluorescent options, transparent options that are out there for either flexible materials or something like PLA.
Oh, the new
We're
cookie CAD unicorn print, like pretty TPU exists now, and you don't know how excited I am because I love TPU printing, but TPU comes with like seven
Sure.
colors, and it's been that
Sure.
way for like 5 years, as long as I've been printing, probably even longer, And every time I see, and now we have gradient ombre unicorn colored and hot glittery pink, TPU, and I'm hype for this. Like, I have them. I haven't printed with it yet, but I have several boxes in the back that are labeled mine. So
Well, we might have to
I
collaborate
label
on
them.
some nice big mural or something that gets 3D printed with all those colors. That'd be fun.
Right. Oh, that's something I need to do. I need to just do more, art pieces, and hopefully I get to, when this business starts, calming down. I'm trying to, bring on my one of my freelancers full time because I'm tired. And then maybe I can print art for myself one more time. We'll see. Maybe I can print art again one
Yeah.
day. I keep saying I'm going to print something wearable every year, and I did the first couple of years going to Earth, and the past couple of years
Okay.
it just hasn't happened. So
Okay. Yeah,
I
something
3D printed
wearable
an
and
entire
is
hat before, like a snapback. So that was really cool. It
Oh,
was out of
really?
TPU
Okay.
and MPLA. So that was super fun. I customized it and everything. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I broke it a couple years later on an airplane. So
Oh no. Okay.
yeah, I
Yeah,
print my
just
own free. I got into the fabric 3D printing for a while, and that, again, super excited for all this pretty TPU because I'm gonna 3D print myself a handbag. Like, I'm very determined to do this right now.
There you go. Have you seen the new silicone 3D printing that's going on? There's a company out in Boston called Rapid Liquid Print, RLP, who just printed a handbag for some fashion show that went on.
No, I haven't, but I need to look into that.
Yeah.
Like, I hope maybe they'll be at Form Next because I'm gonna be like kid in the candy store. It's like when you take like a 5-year-old to the zoo. Actually, if you take me to the zoo now.
That's awesome. I think having all these different ideas for what we can print and inspiring others to think outside the box with all these different colors and different options to print different things is very unique in what you're offering. So great job on that side of things.
Yeah, it's really fun. I go to craft fairs and school fairs and stuff, selling, flexi fidgets and 3D printed stuff. And then kids are like, "Oh, this is so cool." I was like, "Yeah, if you think this is cool, you can do this too." And it blows their mind. And I was like, "Mom and Dad, it's cheaper than the PS5.
Yeah, well,
I
you got
can't promise
Christmas
less
coming
screen
up here
time,
soon,
but
so.
I can promise more engineering."
It would inspire more learning, right? More hands-on learning with mechanical things and some computer and maybe some design. So I think that might be a little bit better than a PS5 or something like that, so.
Right. My friends' middle schoolers all think I'm really cool because I'm always taking selfies with like some YouTuber that they watched, and they're like, "Wow, she's so cool, Dad." And it's like, "You can do this too." And he's like, "Can I just hire you to teach my kids?" Like, "I got you."
Very nice. Very nice. I love what you're trying to go after on the consumer side of things. It hasn't been a focus of mine, just because of maybe the area that I'm in. I don't know, but getting into the more educational level is something that I definitely see a need, whether you're a consumer or whether you're going business to business on the enterprise level. There definitely has to be, a higher level of education here on, how to maintain the machines and how to print in general. So. Yeah, I just definitely inspired by the work that you're doing on the consumer side of things, and hope that there could be some opportunity, maybe to work with you guys in the near future on some pretty cool filament and maybe some artwork or mural style printing. I think that'd be neat.
Yeah, I just want to keep expanding, coming up with crazy, ideas. I want to eventually teach, our new space will have space for classrooms. Yay. And,
There you go.
just really encourage people to just make stuff, like, it's so easy. That's how I ended up being a serial entrepreneur. It's actually scary now because I have the marketing skills, the business skills, and I own a prototyping company. Like, I can just prototype anything I want, and it's actually, because I'll always come up with something like, "Ooh, I could make more of these. I could sell this. This could be a thing." And then I have to stop myself and say, "No, I don't have time for another business."
Right. Yeah, I mean, again, that's a slippery slope, and I think you and I definitely have seen the opportunities that come out of these different interactions we have with our customers, and then just our own thoughts, day to day on what could be printed. For Halloween recently, we printed a pretty life-size pumpkin here out of a Matter Hacker's TPU, and that was just another fun print, something practical and decorative that. We had the opportunity and wanted to kind of show off the capabilities of some of the bigger printers that we have. So, yeah, I think there's always a way to utilize the printers for more than one thing. And, having that inspiration for people, I think, is pretty crucial.
Yeah, and You know, something I'm hoping to get out of Formnext is because now we are getting like these enterprise clients are coming to me like this. So it's like, if they can find me, I can find more of them. And I want to offer them, a wider variety of things, things above the X1E, that are like even more, just like larger, more serious, industrial printers. So something I'm really hoping to do at Formnext is to connect with some of these other brands and really expand my offerings to industrial buildouts. So when someone needs an in-house lab, not only do I can I, sell them 3D printers, but I can sell them, resin printers. I mean, we work with EPACs. We can't do any of the industrial dental printers for EPACs, but I want to do more of that. I'm talking to Bot Factory, being, about selling those in buildouts too. And I want to be able to build out these really complete packages and have people trained. And, the guys that are working in my shop are amazing. They all want to learn all the time, which is kind of like when I'm hiring. That's who I want. I want people who love to learn and who are always trying to grow, because this is an industry that's changing so fast. So my successful, staff members are the ones who constantly want to learn. Someone's just like, oh, I just want a job to do the job and print. Like, you're not going to thrive here, because Bamboo Labs didn't like wasn't even a thing like 2 years ago. And now, like, the face of 3D, like, multicolor printing wasn't a thing 2 years ago.
No, it's already, advancing so quickly on that side of things too. It's like these printers need to get a lot more plug and play for people, and expanding these options out for different colors, different materials to print simultaneously as well. So I'm pretty envious of you going to Formnext. I wish I was heading out there next week, but hope you have a great
Oh,
time out
just book
there
a
as well.
last
I
minute
think there's,
flight and just come.
yeah, oh, man, I wish there's definitely a lot going on here, anyways. But Formnext would be pretty interesting to go to, I think, because it's an international fair. I think you get a lot more interest from different people when you go to international events like that. But I'm looking at kind of the going again, business to business route, looking at your enterprise aspirations as well, trying to look at the end users for businesses going to like a construction trade show or a tooling trade show. Or those other very industry specific trade shows where you might be the only 3D printing company there at the event, and then you'd have quite a lot of interest in all the different colors that you could display, or some of these more professional printers. So that's definitely an avenue, getting out to the trade shows next year, that'll be pretty crucial too.
Nice. Maybe we should team up and go to some of these, because I'm like, oh, I hate boothing at trade shows. Actually, I hate running a booth. I like decorating a
Oh, it's
booth.
tough. It's expensive too, though,
Yeah, but I no, I'm always going to these things as an attendee, because I'm there as a buyer. So that's really nice. And then I just have to make friends with someone to get me into the after party. But because I'm
Nice.
not an exhibitor, everyone's like,
Right.
really? I was like, yeah, but I also like I'm here. I'm a distributor for like half the companies in this section. It's like
Yeah,
I'm in the
no,
industry, I swear.
that you're part of the industry, definitely a necessary part, and there's definitely opportunity to get in with some of these bigger companies if you know who to talk to. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm definitely interested. Let's chat after this as well for any kind of collaboration that we could have on the B2C or B2B side of things for printing on the small end or big end. And I'd really like to kind of come down and visit the shop. Again, I've had some aspirations for wanting to kind of build out more of an open experience for some of the local customers. I even went out and got a Coco Press chocolate 3D printer
Oh
that
my,
I've been
that's my
wanting
friend's
to.
company. I love
Yeah.
her.
Yeah. No, that's definitely something that I've kind of put on the back burner a little too long. And now we're finally getting around to putting the machine together and start using it. So,
Oh, and have you
yeah.
had the chocolate? It's so good.
No, I haven't. I haven't
Oh,
yet.
you, I'm excited for you, because the chocolate is delicious.
I've
And we're
really
going to be
had
selling
to.
Coco Press probably soon too. They're gonna do a second version, so I'll probably grab their reviews once those are, or their pro version. So they're working on something. So once they have that, like, we're probably gonna have some, because I think Ellie was just one of my first friends, in 3D printing. So like that was just amazing. We sat at the same table at IRF, my very first IRF, several years ago, and we've just been friends ever since. And I've been following their journey, and they're amazing. Like that
Nice.
whole
Well, maybe we'll have to get Ellie on the show here as well at some point and have the two of you talking about the chocolate printing and more consumer side of things.
Oh, and it's delicious. I'm always like out their booths, like, hey, can I have a snack?
Yeah.
Snack
I, you
bar.
know what? I've really tried hard not to. I love chocolate, and I've really tried hard not to just eat the cartridges while I'm waiting to finish putting this printer together and having the time to dedicate towards it. But it's almost together now. It's a passion project at this point that we'll see how much fun we have with it and what kind of cool things we can print for our families for Christmas, maybe those Christmas
Oh,
parties.
that'll
I
be
think
so
that's when it'll
fun.
come out. So yeah, I know.
I also
Definitely
have a
excited
pancake
about getting that
pot.
together.
I have a
Pancake
pancake pot.
bot.
Yeah, I have a pancake pot in the back of my closet. I think I met, that founder just like on the internet, and I have a pancake pot now.
So tell me about that pancakes. You're literally just kind of extruding,
Yeah,
pancake
it extrudes
batter
onto a
cooking it.
griddle. And
That's
like with
awesome.
the pictures, so if it's on longer, it's darker. It makes pictures. I was like, yeah, I
Oh
have a robot
yeah.
that makes me
Okay.
pancakes now. It's great. I never use it because it is a lot of work to set up. It takes up a lot of counter space. It's a printer, so it
Okay.
doesn't just fit on my kitchen counter, unfortunately. So it's just usually in the back room. But once we move to our bigger shop, that it might just live in the break room.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, again, having any type of food printing, I think they're also exploring more ways to like 3D print meat, or some other
That does sound
foods.
weird. Honestly,
Yeah.
I'd be concerned about that one for now. Just the
Right. Not
temperature.
sure what kind of meat we're actually, and what are we accomplishing at that point by, 3D printing meat? I don't think there's really any, reason to do that, but there was
I'm like,
meat printing and then other sugar. I think there's other sugar 3D printers. Have you seen anything about that?
candy makes sense to 3D print. Me, I don't know. I'm thinking even like at Michelin star restaurants. I'm just like, okay, like you go to those fancy dessert places with like the cool chocolate drizzles and the chocolate sculpting, and like that makes sense. No one sculpts meat like that.
Right. Well, I'll be waiting for maybe Ellie to make a really tall chocolate printer, and we can do some kind of life-size chocolate going on here.
Oh, that would be so cool.
We'll have to collaborate on that one as well. So,
Just like a life-size like chocolate statue like
yeah,
that.
why not? Why
Like
not? You'll
that sounds great.
have Godiva Chocolate reaching out to you here very shortly. I think you're doing an awesome job of that, Beverly. I really appreciate, you spending the time with me to kind of introduce Ecovate 3D today and on the podcast here. And I love learning about, how you're getting really involved with some of the kids as well on the educational side of things. I think that's really important. So congrats on your newfound success here. Looking forward to hearing about, what you can do in the future, and hopefully our paths will cross here for maybe working together on the B2B side of things. But thank you very much for taking the time today to come on the podcast and share your experiences.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was so much fun. Like I said, I love yapping with the nerds.
Yeah, well, I'll have to get down to one of the nerd festivals down at ERF next year.
Dude,
But
Open Sauce in San
yeah.
Francisco isn't driving distance to you, but that one's really fun too.
Well, might have to get out to California. I think I'm looking for any excuse to get out to the West Coast at this point.
Enjoy the
So
sunshine. The
that's
weather's
right.
great, and so are the tacos.
Tacos would get me out there just alone on tacos.
Oh, look, if you're ever in LA, I will show you the best tacos and the best Chinese food of your life.
That sounds great. That's awesome. Well, thanks very much again for spending the time. Everyone here at the Fabrication Friday podcast, thank you for continuing to listen. Looking forward to continuing the podcast series here now that we're back on a roll coming into the end of the year. We'll have to get maybe Ellie on from Cocoa Press here at some point soon, back with Beverly, and have a good time. Beverly, anything else that you'd like our listeners to hear from you, or kind of where they can contact you for some of your educational style courses?
Ecovate 3D is on all social media platforms, supposedly. You can follow me on LinkedIn, Beverly Tan. And I'm just around and I'm trying to actually hire a social media manager because this is a lot of work. I do everything
Yeah.
myself right now.
Well, I can definitely resonate with that. We're in the same boat. So, yeah, definitely kudos to you. Thanks again. Appreciate it. Everyone else in the Fabrication Friday podcast, happy printing.
Yep, happy printing.